the Word of God, which is absolutely perfect, without error, and especially designed to reach into our minds and our hearts and bring us to you and to sustain us each day with whatever we face in this life. Lord, it's a great adventure today to look into your word and to find what you have written for us, so we might understand these things and be lights for you and with all the people around us, to all the people around us that we know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And I'll be reading verses 13 through 16. 1 John chapter 4. And I'll be reading verses 13 through 16. Just four verses today, so not too much. Short passage. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Well, last week I said that 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to the end of the chapter, is really the love chapter in the Bible. We usually give that title to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where the word love only occurs like 9 times, but the word agape, love, either occurs as a noun or a verb in 1 John chapter 4 like 27 times. So it really is the love chapter of the Bible. And there are a couple other words, key words, in going through 1 John that are important for us to know that they're there and realize that these are important things that John tells us over and over again. And another word that occurs especially in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4 is remain. Remain. Meno is the Greek word. And it's the same word that we find in 1 John chapter 15. So what John wrote in the Gospel of John still applies for us in 1 John, to remain in Jesus. That means to stay faithful in reading his word, confess our sins when we sin, to pray, to tell others about Jesus, and count him into every aspect, every part of our lives. That's part of what remaining is. And then today, this passage really focuses on this other Greek word, know, gnosko, which is key for following Jesus, is knowing certain things, because the Bible tells us these things. Knowing that we are abiding in Christ as we walk in the light is what I am saying the theme of these four verses is. Knowing that we are abiding in Christ as we walk in this light that he has given to us. You know, sometimes in life, things hit us unexpectedly, don't they? We get smacked up alongside the head. I almost knocked myself out. But that's the way it happens. You know, we're kind of stunned for a while, and maybe we get a little bit goofy. You know, we see stars and we say, where did that come from? You know, why is that happening to me now? And sometimes trials or unexpected tragedies can do that to us. And as I said, one of the key verses, the key words in 1 John is to know or to realize. And John wants us to know things with assurance. to be solid and secure in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, especially from chapter 2 on, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, over and over, John will repeat this word no to us about a variety of things. For instance, we can know that we have come to know him, according to chapter 2, verse 3. We can know that we are in him, chapter 2, verse 5. We can know that we have passed out of death into life, according to chapter 3, verse 14. We can know that the Spirit of God lives us in us, according to chapter 3, verse 24. And then my favorite, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John writes, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you might know that you have eternal life." It's not "I hope" or "I think." It's "I know I have eternal life because I've accepted Jesus as my Savior." It's a sure thing. So in this paragraph that I read, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, first part of verse 16, Paul, or John, gives us, it's better to be John, John gives us a series of evidences to remind us as the readers that we can know that we're saved. That those who are abiding in him, in Jesus, no matter what happens, no matter what they experience, no matter what blindsides them, they can know that they have eternal life. So as we look through these four verses, I found four witnesses of assurance of abiding in Christ. Four witnesses of assurance, four testimonies of assurance of abiding in Christ. The first one I find in verse 13. The witness in the believer by the Spirit of God. The prepositions are important today. The witness in the believer by the Spirit of God. Verse 13 says, "We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit." You know, the NIV there says live, but the word there actually in Greek is abide. So you could, Bible sometimes translate that as dwell, or live, or abide. We know that we live, we dwell, we abide in him, and he lives and dwells and abides in us because he has given us of his Spirit. So the Spirit of God testifies that we are in him and that God is in us. You know, really that's what God had in his mind from the beginning. In the Old Testament, he dwelt in the temple, but his desire has always been to live in us. And he does that when we accept Christ as our Savior. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says this, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God?" That's 1 Corinthians 6:18. But notice what verse 13 says. He has given us out of his Spirit, meaning that we are receiving the witness of the Spirit in our lives. He is persuading us. He is enabling us to accept the fact that as believers who love one another, God dwells in us and we dwell in him. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Not long ago, a Korean evangelist named Billy Kim told a story about the Spirit of God dwelling in the life of a believer during a crisis time. He said, after the war in Korea, the North Koreans came down into South Korea. And the first thing they did was to surround a Korean church. And they said to all the leaders of the church, all the people, deny him or die. Here's the Bible. Spit on the Bible. Say that you don't belong to Jesus, that Jesus is not God. They went to the leaders first, and several of them spit on the Bible and said, I'm turning away from Christ. And then they came to this little girl. She was 10 years old. And she just looked at him and she said, I'm not doing it. You can kill me. You can do whatever you want to me. But I'm not doing it. And led by the Spirit of God, she turned to those leaders and she said, may the Spirit of God have mercy upon you. And then she began to sing, and all of the church began to sing with her. And the communists didn't know what to do. What do we do with this whole group of people? We thought we could just come in and manipulate, you know, and take out a couple of their guys, and it'd be over. They didn't know what to do. They were amazed by this little girl and the Spirit of God's witness through her, in her. And they finally decided, well, what we're going to do is we're going to kill these guys who denied Christ. We're going to let all the rest of you live. And that's what happened that day. The Spirit, the witness of the Spirit in us, the testimony of believers by the Spirit of God is what they saw. Second point, the witness through the believers that God sent his Son is the second witness that I find in this passage. Witness through the believers that God sent his Son. Look at verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The people of God, it says in this verse, have seen. And it's in the perfect tense there. So that means it's an event that happened in the past, and it's continuing on. The impact of what they saw in the past is continuing on until this day. And then the verb testifying is in the present tense. So it's something that's a state. It's something that's continuing on. They're continuing. It keeps on continuing to testify to them this day, that Jesus was sent to be the Savior of the world. And the we in this verse refers to the apostles and to the believers. Indwelling of the Spirit of God changes people, doesn't he? Doesn't it? The living Christ, who they had heard, who they had seen, who they had looked at and who they had touched and continued to impact their lives. And the Spirit of God continued to testify to them about why he came to be the Savior of the world. And he was making his love mature and complete in them. You know, the Spirit of God doesn't do that to everyone, does he? But only to those who have received Jesus as their Savior. The Spirit does wonderful things for us. He enlightens our minds. He opens our hearts. And he empowers our wills. Those that were lost are found. Those who are dead are made alive. You know, there's no escaping life's difficulties, is there? Storms are sure to come. Floods of misery at times will rise. The pressures, the winds of pressure will howl. But all of us who live in simple faith were once rescued from that same sinking sand. And we want others to meet the one who is the Savior of the world, so that their lives might be changed too. So the second point was the witness through the believers. The Spirit of God works through us. We are the channels that the Spirit works through, so that others might see that God sent His Son. Third point, the witness of the believer, that Jesus Christ is God's Son, according to verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. God abides. God dwells in him. And he abides, dwells, lives in God. If we confess that Jesus came in the flesh and he is the Son of God, we know that God abides in us and we abide in God. It's just a supernatural work that God has done in us. Nobody else would say that. Only if the Spirit abides in them. The believer has been given a new and invisible power from God for the work that is to be done through us. Confession is evidence that God abides in us. We confess that Jesus is Lord. You know, we didn't come up with that idea on our own, did we? That Jesus is Lord. But God opened our eyes by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. In John chapter 3, it tells us that the Spirit's work is like the wind. It's really a play on words there, because wind in Greek and spirit are the same word. The Spirit's work is like the wind. We can't control Him. We don't see Him. We don't know where He comes from or where He's going. We do see the results when He changes people's lives. You know, one of the things that we did in the Czech Republic when we were there was we distributed the Jesus video to anybody who would take it. We did that to the whole city twice, in a city the size of Columbus, Ohio. We did. And one thing that started bothering me when I came back to the United States was, you know, I have some relatives that really don't need the Lord. And there's nobody, I mean, nobody in their network that has the opportunity to talk to them about Jesus except me. You know, except this guy. You know, what am I doing with those people that I'm even related to that I have an opening? They know what I do. And so I went to my Uncle Jack's house, Jack Kelly. He's my uncle, and he's also Brad Kelly's uncle, but we're not related. Brad and I are not related to each other, but we share an uncle. And I remember sitting in his house there in Ashland, and talking to him about Jesus. Cindy came with me, and we gave him a copy of the Jesus video and says, "Watch this. You know, maybe I didn't get it all right. Maybe you want to hear the story again. Watch this video. Watch this film." And there's a part at the end that tells you how you can get your life right with Jesus. Never heard anything. I don't know how Uncle Jack responded to that, but I know that he heard. I know that he heard. Same week, we went down to visit my Uncle Kenneth Swain. And he was married to Phyllis Dribblebiss Swain. And you got to understand, I mean, those people did some heavy drinking. I mean, heavy drinking. And they lived in this house that was kind of like the ruins. So we sat on the front porch when we went there. And we didn't go inside the house because it was just totally mess. And it was built in a place like in the floodplain of the Mohican Dam. So anytime the water backed up, they would have water in their house. You know, so after they died, they tore down that house. Nobody would live there. But I remember sitting on their front porch and telling them about Jesus And of course, you know, my Uncle Kenny was a pretty tough guy, and he didn't want to hear. But Phyllis kind of listened a little bit. A couple years ago, I went to Phyllis's funeral, and all of her children, Kenny Biddle, you know, he's the commissioner, one of her sons is Kenny Biddle. And they all testified to me that after my uncle died, my Aunt Phyllis received Jesus as her Savior. Maybe it was because she watched the video. Maybe it wasn't. We don't know what the Spirit of God is going to do. We don't know when He's going to do it. We don't know who He's going to use in what situation. But I'm going to talk to my Aunt Phyllis someday in heaven. It's the witness of the believer that Jesus is Christ's Son. It's very, very important for us and for other people too. And the final witness that I found in this passage is found in verse 16, the first part of the verse. We'll only talk about that today. The witness of the benefits by the believer abiding in Christ. Verse 16, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. Abiding in Christ, being united in close fellowship with Him, helps us to grow in knowledge and trust. The more we love God, the more we understand about the love of God. And we trust Him, and we trust Him more. And that trust and that faith becomes more and more visible in our lives. Here's a story about some botanists who were in the Alps in Switzerland. And they were searching there for a very rare form of flower that grows only at high elevations in the Alps. So they had their binoculars and they were looking around and they found one. And guess what? It was, you know, the worst place to get to. You know, that's why things are hard to find. It's because they grow in this worst place. You know, you got to think, these guys said, oh no, why do we have to find it there? You know, it was down in this ravine, you know, a couple hundred feet, you know, down the side of this sheer rock. And they said, well, how are we going to get this? How are we going to get this flower and bring it up here? So, you know, the people back in the museum will pay us for finding this thing. So they looked around and they found this teenage kid who was just kind of monkeying around there. They said, hey, boy, come here. We're going to tie this rope around you and send you over the cliff. And we want you to pick that flower down there for us. And this boy wasn't born yesterday. And he said, wait 1 minute. He went and he got this older gentleman and brought him back. He said, I'm not going over the side of that cliff unless this guy right here is holding on to the rope. This guy is my dad. I trust him. I don't trust anybody else, any of you guys. It's the trust that we grow, that grows in us of Jesus, is one of the things that the Spirit does in our lives. We grow in our love for Him. It's a benefit that we have as we abide in Christ. We grow in love for Him. We grow in trust of Him. We're willing to go over the side of that cliff if we know that Jesus has a hold of that rope on the other end. Knowing that we are abiding in Christ as we walk in this light that He's given us is what the main idea is of this passage. And maybe we'll close with a couple questions today. First question is, think about your life for a minute. How is God preparing you for what's ahead? You know, what scriptures are you putting into your heart and into your mind, or God is bringing to your attention that maybe you think, oh, you know, I might need that. I might really need that verse. Maybe God is teaching me or showing me something here that I'm going to need in the near or far future. What's he doing? What's he doing with that? And secondly, what are you doing? What are we doing to abide more faithfully in Christ? We have some responsibility, don't we, in this process of growth. Listening to him, obeying him, and allowing him to come into all parts of our lives that we didn't think were possible before. Let's pray as we close. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Spirit of God and his work in our lives. And Lord, just show us more about Jesus. Show us more of how we can love him and trust him so that other people will love him and trust him and see that this faith, this stuff that we talk about all the time is real and not something that's made up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.